My name's Alex Webb. I'm here on the behalf of the Wellcome Trust. It is the 31st of August 2009. Could you please state your full name, your date of birth, and where you're from?
Yeah, my name's Lucy Alexandra Davis. My date of birth is the 24th of the 7th, 1970, and I currently live in Cardiff.
So where did you first hear about the project?
Long time ago, actually. I think when the plan was to put it out to tender. And then I remember hearing the four, was it four?
Yeah.
Maybe more, actually, I can't remember. Anyway, I remember, was there even an exhibition of the four possible designs for it? Or certainly I remember being very engaged right from the beginning.
Okay.
And then very much wanting this one to be the one that got it, and very pleased when it did.
Yeah.
So engaged from very early on, I think.
Okay. And what inspired you to take part?
At the time, I thought the conceptual idea behind the project was just genius and really up my street. I'm a big fan of Anthony Gormley, so I already had a kind of massive respect for his work and felt it would be a huge honour to be one of his bodies. And I think the way I originally understood the project conceptually was that it kind of instatued ordinary people. And ordinary people who do kind of heroic, legendary things every day in their own ways. And I just thought that was a very beautiful and significant idea behind a project. I don't know whether that now is still the conceptual core of the project. People have obviously are using it in a very different way. But I think I had this image of 2,400, is it?
Yeah,
people
standing
very still and being very, and just very having their private victories and defeats, actually. And I just thought that was very conceptually beautiful.
Yeah. And how do you plan to use your hour?
Well, in very much that way, I hadn't, you know, I think I didn't see it as in any way performative, I didn't see it as any way expressive, I didn't see it as in any, I just wanted to be there, I guess.
Yeah.
Just be and be one of those ordinary people who's done extraordinary things in very quiet, private ways that don't get written in history books.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier about you being involved in theatre.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I've worked in theatre all my career, really, since, oh God, a long time. Yeah, 17 years.
Yeah.
And I've sort of worked through for various organisations, sort of as an assistant director, and then into kind of literary management, which is the development of scripts and script writing. Had a little sojourn in the film industry, and then back into theatre, and I work, so I produce theatre.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I've always had a kind of big passion in participatory arts, I guess. And theatre's moving much more that direction as well. So
is it becoming more experimental?
I think there's a real shift in what it means to be an audience member.
Yeah.
And I don't know what a plinth is. I don't know whether we're the object or an attendee, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the experience of going to theatre is really shifting, and the days when you turn up at 7:30 and sit in an auditorium and watch play have really shifted, and audiences are much more hungry to bring their own self-expression to things and to participate much more actively in an evening. And I think maybe that's part of what's happening with visual arts as well.
Mm-hmm. Could you talk about some of the works you're working on, you know, the kind of projects you're
as a producer?
Yeah.
I've worked mostly in buildings. I started out for a Cornish company called Knee High Theatre, and then I worked at the Donmar Warehouse, and then as the literary manager, and then I went to the film industry for a bit, and then I ran the National Theatre Studio, which is kind of development workshop space at the National Theatre. And then I went back to the Donmar as the producer there. So during my time there, I produced all sorts of fabulous work. I mean, some quite celebrated production of Othello with Ewan McGregor that was quite celebrated. And then we produced a season of work in the West End as well. And then, and during this time, I had two children. So I have two small children. And then, so there are little gaps in it. And then I now have just moved to Wales to set up the National Theatre of Wales.
Okay. Wow.
And we're going to produce 12 shows next year, one a month, each in a different location across Wales.
And are they going to be different shows?
Totally different work in very different spaces, some from the beach to found spaces to conventional theatre buildings. Mm-hmm. So a real mixture of spaces.
So, like,
so that's my big project at the moment, is getting that year of work ready, and we have to announce it in November. So you
still need to employ people? So you're casting now? Or?
Yeah, exactly. We're kind of putting the creative teams together for each of those shows now. And then they've got to be shipshape for us to talk about them in November.
Yeah.
But it's a fantastic project.
Mm-hmm. How did you get into theatre initially?
I did a drama degree, and luck.
Yeah.
You know, luck and really being passionate about the kind of work that I wanted to make from very early on, and just having some unbelievably fantastic champions very early on.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been very lucky.
Could you talk a bit about your background and
Yep.
where you're from? Just maybe growing up in
I was born and brought up in Birmingham,
mm-hmm.
South Birmingham. What else do you need to know? I've got two brothers,
yeah.
older and younger. My dad was an academic, my mum was a social worker, a very political, bourgeois, liberal, fantastic childhood.
Yeah.
Not much more to say than that, really. Very, very influential, kind of that period. I was born in 1970, so grew up during the 70s and then into the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Hugely influential on my politics and
yeah.
my fashion sense.
Yeah. And that kind of creative drive, did that stem from your mother and father? Or your
kind of. They're not, there's no, I'm the only one really in the family who's, I mean, there's history of people, I mean, a great passion for artistic involvement and engagement, but I'm the first one who's made it a profession.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and going back to the plinth, have you got any hopes and fears about going up there?
I think I'll feel extremely self-conscious. I think I'll feel very embarrassed. I think I'll feel I'm letting everybody down by not doing anything particularly dynamic. And when I get over all of that, I hope that it's also the first kind of hour in the last 3 years that I'll have completely to myself where no one can get me.
Yeah.
And I have two tiny children. I guess I hope that it will be a real little pocket of peace and thinking and rest.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'll come down with having been through quite a memorable little moment.
Sure.
Very private one, actually.
Sure. And is it in kind of a massive contrast to like what you're doing, you're producing, but are you on the other side of kind of where you work, so you're not essentially the performer?
Exactly right, yeah.
So is that kind of also a challenge for you, I guess?
Oh yeah, totally, yeah. I would never normally be the person who was in it.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that I never thought of this as being a performer. My husband's an actor.
Okay.
And a writer and a novelist. And he's much more obviously the kind of person who would do this than me.
Yeah. So what did he give you an advice?
Totally, totally thrilled. No, I mean, I think he thinks you've got to do it truthfully. You've got
to do
your own thing. And I don't think he'd do anything different, actually.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd do anything particularly, I just think.
So does your husband work in theatre as well, or is it?
Yeah, he mostly, I mean, he has done TV and film, but he mostly is a stage actor and he's also a novelist.
Oh.
Started writing about 5 years ago and that's stolen his time and his talents, actually. He's really,
And do you think standing on the plinth, do you think it will have an impact on you as a person afterward?
I have no idea. I hope so. I don't know. I mean, I hope so. It must do, I guess.
Yeah. Have you been involved in an event like this before?
Not quite like this.
Context?
No, I mean, I've been to things that demanded quite a lot of you, but not so much public observation of you.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been to things that were really memorable and fantastic, like Die Familie Schneider, the Gregor Schneider project, which was obviously very, you know, you went on your own into a house and had a very lasting experience, actually, and fantastically impactful experience. But I don't think I've ever been involved in something where I've felt so observed.
Yeah.
I think I've always been, like you say, the producer or the seer.
Yeah.
The watcher.
But now we're turning it around, so yeah.
But I don't quite know what the identity of the plinther is. I think that's where I've been. It's been quite interesting to watch the way, I don't know if marketed is the right word, but the way the project has become marketed, which does feel very much about what you're going to do and what. And when I began to watch people on the website, I was kind of, oh God, you know, these people are really doing a routine up there, you know. And
well, I mean, I think what tends to happen is Sky, you know, they'll be chosen the extroverts will be chosen. So what you'll be seeing is a kind of, you know, edited version of, you know, so maybe what tends to happen is a lot of people have these great expectations of going out there and feeling that they have to perform, but I wouldn't feel that, you know, if that's what you think.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it would have been beautiful if Sky, and it wouldn't have been at all interesting, if it was just a series of people
in
their very private moments.
And who would you say you're doing this for?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. The answer comes to, I'm doing it for Anthony Gormley, I guess. I'm doing it for his project.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's an honest answer.
What is it about his work that you enjoy? I mean, you said you're a fan of his work.
Yeah, I think he has a sense of humanity and scale and universality and accessibility, and I just think his work is incredibly articulate of ideas in very, very simple, beautiful, human ways. But they're always men, so I also thought I'm there for my kids too. You know, I'm there because I think there's something, I mean, because part of this project is also about, you know, who becomes statues, and obviously that is a very political, historical thing, and I think there's something about what I've been through in the last 3 years, giving birth to two boys and being with them, and what the impact that's had on my life, that part of me does want to stand up there and say, I deserve to be a fucking statue.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're totally right.
That's why I'm there. That's what I'm doing it for. I'm doing it for mothers.
I think you should go up there and say that as well. So yeah, that's probably. Lastly, what would you say about yourself? What is the main thing you'd say about yourself? Who you are?
Oh God. Oh, I can't answer that.
Well, if your friends were to describe you, how would they? What do you think they would?
Oh, I hate this sort of thing. Ask them. I don't know. I don't know.
Phone a friend.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know. They'd probably say I don't know. I can't answer that. I find it very difficult. I'm sorry.
No,
I can't.
It's okay.
I think that answer's always... all I often think of is the kind of, they'd say I'm a completely hysterical control freak. Or they'd say I'm, you know, a good cook. And
does cooking
warm.
Another passion of yours?
Yeah. 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 And cycling.
Exactly.
I think they'd say I like riding my bike and cooking and... And I don't know. I hate those sort of things. I honestly would never know how to describe myself particularly. I think you're the last person to know yourself, really, where I am.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for the interview. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.